We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them. We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff, solve problems.
That's Bill Nye in a now highly circulated anti-creationism video. Bill Nye, the science guy, saying, look, parents, if you want to deny evolution, go right ahead, but don't teach your kids to do it. Don't teach them creation. Joining us to react to some of what Bill Nye has to say about creation and evolution, Dr. David Menton. He's a speaker for Answers in Genesis. He's Associate Professor Emeritus of Anatomy at Washington University in St. Louis. Dr. Menton, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Bill Nye says that Americans are denying our children a sound education by teaching creation and by denying evolution. How do you respond?
Well, let's look at our schools. Do the records show that our schools are getting better and better, particularly in our bigger cities, or does the data show that our schools are getting worse and worse and worse? I think everybody agrees it's the latter. And yet this has occurred during a period of time in which evolutionary indoctrination has been substantially increased. When I went through grade school in southern Minnesota, even high school, I never even heard about evolution. I'm sure my high school teacher, biology teacher, believed in it, but he didn't bring it up. He had enough real science to teach. So isn't it interesting? Precisely when evolution is playing a bigger and bigger role in our classroom, the performance of American students in science has been going down and down in math and science. They certainly can't build a case that they can actually demonstrate that belief in creation in any way interferes with the ability of a young person to grow up to be a scientist. It certainly wasn't true in my case. I was raised a Christian in the Lutheran Church, and I always tell people I've been a Christian since I've been an infant. That would be 74 years ago, by the way. And, you know, my belief in a creator, my belief in Scripture, did nothing to hold me back. I was involved at a much higher level of science than Bill Nye has ever experienced. I was involved more years at a major university. I wasn't trying to be a stand-up comic on the side and a television personality and what have you. I applied myself full-time to my work, and I won awards for both my teaching and my research. So this suggestion that you can't do anything in science without evolution is ludicrous. In fact, Adam Wilkins, who is an evolutionist himself, in a special issue on evolutionary processes in Bioessays, Volume 22, Number 12, December 2000, said, and I quote, "While the great majority of biologists would probably agree with Dobzhansky's dictum that nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution, in fact, most can conduct their work quite happily without particular reference to evolutionary ideas. Evolution would appear to be the indispensable unifying idea and at the same time a highly superfluous one." In other words, evolution contributes absolutely nothing to our study of empirical science.
So you're talking about the actual teaching of biology, anatomy, physiology, all of these things do not require...
Cell biology, molecular biology, absolutely not.
Why is that? I mean, because so many believe you can't possibly even enter those fields without believing.
Obviously, they can lock you out.
But a serious study of them.
Well, you know, Georgia Purdom at Answers in Genesis has a... degree from Ohio State, molecular genetics. She did quite well, in fact. Jason Lyle has a PhD in astrophysics from Boulder, Colorado, which is one of the best astrophysics programs in the country. These people have been creationists all their life. There's absolutely nothing. I mean, for example, years ago when I was teaching at Washington University School of Medicine, I might, for example, give a lecture on the kidney or the urinary system. And we would talk about how the kidney functions. It has three basic functions, filtration, reabsorption, and secretion. We'd talk about where that occurs in the kidney and the mechanism by which it occurs in the kidney as it exists today, you know, in kidneys in real living organisms. Now, I could have saved the last 5, maybe 10 minutes of my lecture to discuss how we come to have kidneys before there were any kidneys. And if I were to do that, I'd just be blowing smoke in the students' ears. Scientifically, nothing is known about that. Whenever I would see a professor at Washington University School of Medicine lapse into a, you know, a little evolutionary comment in the middle of his lecture, I always called it a pencils down experience, because looking at the students from the back, they'd put their pencils down and kick back and relax during the evolutionary explanation. Why did they do that? Well, it was a chance to rest, because they knew first this was not going to appear on the exam. It just isn't that important. Most of the students, if not nearly all of them, believed in evolution, but they knew that it would contribute absolutely nothing to their understanding of medicine, or certainly to the practice of medicine. So they just kicked back and relaxed till a professor got back to real science again, and up came the pencils and the notes went on. I mean, I simply can't convey how utterly useless evolution is to empirical science. Unlike Bill Nye, I've been there. Engineers are not really scientists, plus look at Bill Nye's background. This doesn't mean he's not entitled to an opinion because of his background, but this guy who considers himself a scientist, in fact, has a BS degree in biology, or in science, with a major in mechanical engineering. And he actually argues you can't be a mechanical engineer. You can't be an engineer of any kind without evolution. I mean, this is ludicrous. I don't see how you can be an engineer with evolution.
That's what struck me there, where he said, you know, we need engineers to invent things. And I was thinking to myself, my father's an engineer. I got a brother who's an engineer. I don't know, nor is it relevant, their opinions about evolution. But neither of them need to open the evolution textbook to have, in my father's case, carried out, you know, 40-plus year career as an engineer. In my brother's case, and a rather successful career as an engineer. He's got better things to worry about than, I mean, both of them do their job very nicely without whether or not they believe in evolution.
Absolutely, and this is true of medicine. You can practice medicine and totally blow off evolution. Remember, I taught at Washington University School of Medicine for 34 years. This was not a flash in the pan. And during that time, we have about 1,000 people on the full-time faculty of Washington University School of Medicine when I was there. We had about 120 students in each class. Every year, the senior class would look back over 4 years of teachers and select one, and he would be called, or she, the professor of the year. I won it twice. Now, according to Bill Nye's idea, how on earth could I win this award twice? You could say, well, my students weren't that bright. Boy, that's not the case. I served on the admissions committee for 15 years, and I read letters from Nobel Prize winners on behalf of our students. We were getting the top few percent of all students applying to medical school. For 120 spots in the freshman class, we'd get 7,000 applicants. And I got to interview a lot of these people. I mean, these were brilliant young men and women. They were all smarter than I was. I just learned the stuff before they did and had a chance to teach it to them. When they caught up with me, I just pushed them on to the next class. But it's absolutely ludicrous. Bill Nye simply hasn't been where I've been. He doesn't have the background I have. And as I say, that doesn't disqualify him from having an opinion. But this, you know, when he starts talking about if parents, want to live in your if parents, you don't believe in evolution and you want to live in your, and then he has this great big pause. He kind of does, he wanted to say, I presume, something like live in your dream world or live in your fantasy or live in a lie. And he finally just changed to something a little more benign. It basically involved denying all the scientific evidence is to the contrary. He says, at least raise your children to be evolutionists, which is tantamount to being agnostic or atheist. How about if I go, you and I, okay, we go to Bill Nye and we say, look, you want to believe in a mindless, purposeless, goalless evolution. You want to be an agnostic, atheist, deist, whatever you are. If you want to live in that kind of world, you go ahead and do it. But whatever you do, Bill, don't raise your children and your grandchildren that way. Raise them to be Bible-believing Christians and creationists. Now, how far would that go? How naive can this guy be to tell 46% of Americans, don't raise your children to believe as you do about God and about creation? Rather, teach them to believe in a mindless and purposeless process, which involves random change and natural selection. Now, by the way, what precisely is natural selection? Evolutionists claim that natural selection does essentially everything for evolution that God does for creation. Literally somehow pulls highly integrated designs out of chaos. We have no evidence that anything remotely like this is possible. Natural selection is nothing more than differential reproduction, which simply means, do you leave more offspring or don't you? So for every random, purposeless, goalless change that occurs in your mutations, the question is, will this lead to having more offspring or not? If you have more offspring, then you win the evolution game. If you have less, of course, then you're losing on that particular point. And we're really mostly talking about random mutations. There are some genetic shuffling mechanisms that are in addition to that. But think of it, a mindless, purposeless, goalless process whose only control is do you leave more offspring or don't you? And by the way, one of the most characteristic results of a mutation is less offspring. And this is what Bill Nye cites. He even suggests that people came to America because of our science. They came here for religious liberty.
Let's take a break. When we come back, one of the things that Bill Nye appeals to in his short video against creationism and in favor of evolution is what he calls deep time. I wonder what that means. We'll find out after this.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Your world just becomes fantastically complicated when you don't believe in evolution. I mean, here are these ancient dinosaur bones or fossils. Here is radioactivity. Here are distant stars that are just like our star, but that are a different point in their life cycle. The idea of deep time, of this billions of years, explains so much of the world around us. If you try to ignore that, your worldview just becomes crazy. It's just untenable, self-inconsistent. You know, in another couple centuries, that worldview, I'm sure, will be, it just won't exist.
That's Bill Nye, the Science Guy. A little excerpt from a video that's making the rounds where he chides parents for denying evolution and denying their children thereby a sound education. He says it's a worldview that is destined for extinction. He also talks a little bit there about deep time. That's something I need to know a little bit more about, I think. Dr. David Menton is our guest. He's a speaker for Answers in Genesis. He's associate professor of emeritus of anatomy at Washington University in St. Louis. You can watch a video featuring Dr. Menton under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. The video is titled Bill Nye Creationism is Highly Appropriate for Our Children. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Menton, he mentions their deep time and it explains a lot. Now, I'm not an expert on this, but to me, that was a little bit of a strategic error because he's conceding that you need, well, you don't just need a lot of deep time. You need almost an infinite amount of deep time to explain what evolution wants to explain, don't you?
Well, absolutely. You know, I don't think any evolutionist is talking about a universe any older than about 14 billion years. And you think, wow, that's a long time, 14 billion years. You know, if you're going to believe in a universe that's 14 billion years old, you might just as well believe in six-day creation. The reason is the difference between the two amounts of time are both going to fall so far short of what would need to produce a single biologically useful protein by chance. Let's just consider that. Our human body has approximately 100,000 different proteins. Notice I didn't say total proteins. 100,000 different proteins. Most of which are absolutely essential for life. Let me just pull one little protein out that Bill Nye has produced by chance, mindless, purposeless, goalless evolution, and then differential reproduction, which is all natural selection is. I'm just going to pull out the protein transferrin. In fact, what I'd like to do is just put that in my pocket, transferrin, and tell the evolutionists you can have everything else. Everything in the universe, all the living creatures, the stars, you can have everything. I'm just going to put transferrin here in my pocket. You don't get that. You get everything else. You get all the rest of the 100,000 proteins. That's it for life. Placental life will be over in one generation. You see, the reason for that is the baby has to make its own hemoglobin. That's one thing the placenta can't do with the help of the mother. It can't make the blood for the baby. The baby makes its own blood just as mother makes her own blood. And separating those two bloods are the placental barrier. Now, for the baby to make its blood, it needs iron for the heme group and hemoglobin. Absolutely critical. It has to have this iron. Its only source of iron is from the mother's blood. And get this, iron does not go across the placental barrier. It's impermeable to iron. Do you see a potential problem here? Obviously, no iron, that means no baby. That's the end of life right there. Now, how does the iron get to the baby? Well, that's where transferrin comes in. Transferrin is one of a few hundred carrier proteins that are in the placenta that go across the placental barrier, pick up the iron from the mother's blood, carry it through this barrier, and release it to the baby's blood. Without transferrin, no life, at least no placental life, and it would all be gone in one generation. Now, if I have transferrin in my pocket and you're trying to carry on evolution, how many million years do you think you got to come up with transferrin? You have basically one generation. Now, that's one of 100,000 different proteins. We're not going to have time to go through the others. But transferrin alone shows me. He talks about, you know, with everything gets complicated, or with creation, everything's complicated, but presumably not with evolution. My goodness, transferrin alone is pretty complicated to me to try to figure out how we're going to get it by chance.
So regardless of how much time they permit, and as you say, the current clock is set at a little over 14 billion years from beginning to now, it's still not enough time to get even the rudiments of what they want, or what they say has been produced by chance.
There, in a mere 14 billion years, you would simply not have enough time and material in the known universe to come up with a single copy of a biologically useful protein. So we're a little ways off from producing Albert Einstein. We can't even come up with a single copy of one of 100,000 proteins for our body by chance and differential reproduction. I think it's a little premature to talk about coming up with kidneys and lungs and things like that. I'm not sure Bill Nye has the sophistication to understand what he's talking about here. You know, another comment he makes right up first in his talk is that evolution or belief in creationism is unique to the United States. Well, this isn't true. I've been in Turkey. I can tell you it's more widespread in Turkey than it is in America, in fact, in Muslim countries in general. Belief in creation and criticism of evolution is widespread in South Africa, India, South Korea, Brazil. And then there are smaller followings in Japan, Israel, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And yet this guy is suggesting that denial of evolution is absolutely unique to the United States. He has to know better than that. I mean, he's kind of telling a little yarn here. And you know, this business, you alluded to it briefly, that Christians should not raise their children to believe in biblical Christianity and creation. They should be raised to believe in evolution and its associated agnosticism. We need to be careful here. Richard Dawkins, I'm sure you heard of him. Instead of Richard Dawkins, that man knows more things that aren't true than perhaps anyone alive. But Richard Dawkins, former professor at Oxford, he says that raising children to be Christians and especially to believe in creation is a form of child abuse. Now, what Bill Nye is talking about gets fairly close to that. It's child abuse to do this. And you know what we do in the courts with people who engage in child abuse? We take their children away. I think it's time for Christians to start waking up here and seeing what's coming down the pike. I think you're going to find homeschooling forbidden, particularly depends on who gets elected in the next election. And you're eventually going to see that a belief in evolution, not simply a knowledge, but a belief will be required to get into various graduate programs and colleges and what have you. They've already learned that creationists can do as well or better on tests on evolution than the evolutionist kids do. You know, most creationists, like I, raised my children to have a good understanding of evolution as well as creation and how to critique it. So as a result, my kids were ahead of their teachers probably all the way up through high school in terms of being able to critique the evolutionary view. So they're going to have to do more than simply demand knowledge. They're going to have to demand belief. There will be belief tests, I believe, eventually.
Before we let you go, Dr. Menton, I understand, and our listeners will be, because of our long association with you, will be interested to know and a little bit of an update. I understand that both you and your wife have some pretty serious health issues that you're facing. Tell us briefly about that.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with cancer during a colonoscopy here about 6 months ago, and I've been under chemotherapy for that for about 6 months now. I'll finish up my last one September 12th. Just had a CAT scan, and they say there's no evidence of continuing ongoing cancer. That doesn't mean there's none there, but there's no evidence for it. So that was a very good report, and I haven't had any, you know, unbearable side effects from my chemo. Unfortunately, about a month after I was diagnosed, my wife went in for a routine colonoscopy, and it turns out she also has cancer. And she has gone, it's a little different kind of cancer than mine, she's gone through a therapy regimen that was just close to fatal. In fact, they don't do it to you unless you're young enough and in good enough health. It involved radiation every single day of the week except for Saturday and Sunday for 5 weeks. And then a very, very punishing chemotherapy on top of that yet. She had to take a break from that for 10 days just to get enough health back to continue. I myself had a 10-day break, too. I had an infection resulting from my surgery for colon cancer, and that led to a fistula, which basically means the GI tract opens up to the outside of the body through the abdomen. Pretty serious wound, and it just all healed miraculously. I mean, the people who were the wound healing experts were amazed at how fast it healed. So thanks be to God and the prayers of all these people. As they say, I'll be through my regimen. It looks like don't have evidence of further cancer. Deb will have her CAT scan, and we'll see how she's doing. She's recovering. It's been slow. She's on a walker yet. She hasn't been able to get up and walk around enough to keep her muscles up. She's been on pretty heavy pain medication, so we're weaning her off that progressively. And we're hoping to take a little vacation come October.
Well, Dr. Menton, we certainly hear Issues, Etc., and our listeners will keep you in our prayers, both you and your wife, Debbie. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Really appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Dr. David Menton is a speaker for Answers in Genesis and associate professor emeritus of anatomy at Washington University in St. Louis. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss Moses' successor, Joshua. He is the man who bears a name that will be, well, the name which is above every name. He is a foreshadowing of the one who saves. This first Joshua is a charismatic military leader. He is not only Moses' successor, but he is the one who helps conquer the land. He is God's man to lead the people in the conquest of the land. And he foreshadows the next Joshua, the one who will save, that we call Jesus. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Dr. Adolf Hallstatt of Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary will be our guest. And also tomorrow, as we usually do on Fridays, we'll play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August is called One Word, Many Writings. It's a comparison of the religious writings of the major world religions. It's brief. It's to the point. It's very informative. It's written by Dr. Adam Francisco, a regular guest here on the program. You can find out more about the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order One Word, Many Writings, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc. Reformation Club.